I start by saying this, you know, it's my fault that we had to have a lectern, because the musicians have been terrified for 3 years that I would wreck one of these stands by leaning on it and whatever. However, Andrew did share with me a little story last night, which I must tell you, about a man, a preacher in America called Dave Duell. And he went to a visitor church and spoke the word with great force, and at one point made his point quite strongly, and the lectern collapsed. However, so we're still in Romans chapter 8 for the third time, and we've been looking at the position of man. Where is man according to Paul? And thank you, Brenda, for reading the word for us this morning. I found a chart on the internet which I've modified slightly, and I want to put before you today. And look at this, from what, just a quick recap in a way of what we've been looking at for the last two messages. And during this one, I want to think that there are two columns, perhaps not too clear on here, but there are two columns, column A to the left, column B to the right, and I will refer to those later. But man fits into one of two categories. Some of us have fitted in, and all of us, I believe, are fit now into both categories. One we were, and one we are. And this is the important message that's going to come through today. We were people dominated by the flesh. You know, it is inherent within man that we were born in sin. And, you know, if we were, born in sin and conceived in iniquity. The scripture tells us that. And we've got no choice about it. And if you've got children, grandchildren, they're the same. They were born in sin and conceived in iniquity, dominated by the flesh. But which we see as we go down this chart, something important has happened to us. We have been transformed. We've been changed. We've been taken out of our old life and brought into our new life. And Paul talks about two types of people. Those people who are still dominated by the flesh. We are no longer dominated by the flesh. We are dominated by the Spirit. Now you might not like that word dominated, but it's true. God wants to take over and totally control our lives. We'll look at words like adoption later. But we are brought into the presence of Jesus. We used to be controlled by the sinful nature. Now we're controlled by the Spirit. We used to not belong to Christ. Now we are His. You know, come on, get excited, church. We are His. We've been brought into His kingdom. John 3:3 talks about flesh giving birth to flesh. We are born again of the Spirit of God. You know, read John 3. How can a man be born again unless, you know, he enters his mother's womb? No, that's born of flesh. We are born of Spirit. Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Can we take the next slide, please? The old man has his mind set on what the nature desires. We have our mind set not on what we desire, but what God desires. We're not after this self-satisfaction, this self-aggrandizement. We're after building up and looking after what God wants. The mind of sinful man is death and cannot please God. We've got life and peace. And look at this. We've got life in a dead world. The world out there is dead and dying around us. But we have life through Jesus Christ. And we have peace in a troubled world. We don't have peace as the world sees peace. But we have that peace of God. And the Bible says quite clearly, the peace of God which passes all understanding. You know, the world out there wants peace. It wants peace between the Taliban and the regular government in Afghanistan. It wants peace in Iraq. It wants peace in Iran. It wants peace still down in the Falkland Islands. Yes, but we want peace with God. The peace which passes all understanding. Look at this future condition. You will die. Sorry, folks. Bad news, I know. You may not like it. But you will die. There are very few people, even in the Bible, who never died. Perhaps a bit like Enoch. It would be nice, wouldn't it? You know, it says in Scripture about Enoch. And Enoch was no more. They're gone. But no, the reality is we will die. But the even greater reality is we will have resurrection life. The unsaved man does not have the Spirit. We have the Spirit. He's lawless. And with us the law is fulfilled in the Spirit-controlled person. We're not longer an enemy. We're a son. We no longer lack spiritual guidance. We're led by the Spirit. And we're obliged now to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Is there another one? No. Right. So, that's a quick recap. I hope it just helps to put into place what we've been looking at as we work our way through. We are no longer in that condemnation. We are born again by the Spirit of God, born into new life, born into a peace that passes all understanding. And it is something to be excited about. Verse 13. I think it sums it up very, very well. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And to quote one of my favourite characters, Alexander Orlov, simples. It really is as simple as that. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And then let's look at the next and the last three verses that I want to look at today. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let's just pause there for a minute. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So this morning, if you're being led by the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. And you can turn the thing around and say, if you are a son of God, you will be led by the Spirit of God. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. And we keep coming back to this thing about fear, and we need to keep coming back to it. We did not receive a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We have been adopted. And that means to be taken out of an old lifestyle and adopted into a completely new lifestyle. And I want you to see this morning, it's not being taken from one sinful state into another sinful state. It's not being taken from one okay sort of lifestyle and put into another okay sort of lifestyle. It's being taken out of the gutter and brought into total salvation as a child of a living God. You might not like this example I'm going to give, but as I was thinking about this, I thought of Madonna. Now, not in any wrong way, but you know, Madonna has filled the press a number of times with her action of adopting children out of Africa and into America. And it's come under all sorts of condemnation, all sorts of disapproval and whatever. And whether you like it or not, and whether you think she did it for good reasons or bad, that's not the point. The point I want to make is this, that she has taken a little child out of the utmost depravity, out of deprivation, poverty, the dirt, the grime, the gutter, and whatever you want, and has taken that child into abundance beyond belief. I mean, the woman's got money there that she doesn't even know she's got. Yeah? And the child will lack for nothing in lots of ways. There may be some things the child will lack. But that child has been lifted from the very gutter. Yeah? Perhaps of starvation, certainly financial deprivation, a poor education was the future, and taken into the riches and affluence of the pop star lifestyle. Forget all the other bad points about it, but remember that. Out of the dirt, out of the filth, and into that lifestyle. And we have been taken out of the gutter of sin. You see, it may be that it was a nice posh gutter. You know, you might have been kept in the gutter of Park Lane or somewhere like that, was swept twice a day and even polished and watered, but it was still the gutter. And you've been taken out of that gutter and you were being brought into a totally new life. So what does adoption mean? Many of you know that my wife, Pat, was adopted as a baby. She was born in Hartlepool. And we've been able to find out very, very little about her natural parentage. And we've tried. We've been on Dreams Reunited and we've done all the things that we could possibly do. And I think the most we can tell you is what her name was before she was adopted. We know almost nothing and can find out almost nothing about her parentage before she was adopted. And I wrote down here the date, 1900 and... Yes, we won't go into any more detail on that. But in this early year after the war... George and Daisy Hope adopted a baby girl. And the first thing they did, or almost the first thing they did, was to change her name. So she's no longer called, whatever I can say, can I? Yeah. She used to be called Doreen. She's not a Doreen anymore. She's a Patricia. Or most of the time, Pat. But every once in a while, her mother would remember if she was naughty, and it was Patricia. But Patricia was welcomed into her new home. It was a long time before Pat even knew that she'd been adopted. She was just a daughter, an only child, of two loving parents. And she didn't know she'd been adopted. And how did she find out she'd been adopted? The school that she went to ran a trip to Switzerland, a skiing holiday. And of course, to get to go on a skiing holiday, you have to produce passports and birth certificates and things. And all of a sudden, Pat had a birth certificate this big, and everybody else had a birth certificate this big. Because if you're adopted, you don't have your previous parentage mentioned. You only have your new name. And it was only then that the parents had to explain to her that she was special. She was chosen. She was wanted. She was a delight. And she was welcomed into their family. Now, if we go back onto Jeans Reunited now, and we type in Patricia Hope, which was her name after she was adopted, we can take you back to a man called William Marshall, born in 1670, who is Pat's 8 times great-granddad. She's been adopted into a new family, and she's been given a new inheritance, a new name, a new family, a new background. And we can go right back. We could tell you all the other people that have been there listed. But right back to this man, William Marshall, 1670. It's amazing, isn't it? And what's even more amazing, see, that Pat was brought up, adopted into a family as a loving child and as a loving daughter. And bless him, her dad, when we were when Pat was on the way to the church in 1968 when we got married, and as they were driving in the car from his house, he said, "It's not too late to change your mind, you know." But why would he say that? He said that because he only ever wanted the best, yes, for his daughter. And you know, when he died, bless him, Pat's mum died earlier in 1998, and the dad died in 2000. Now when Pat's dad died, Pat was an only child. Everything he owned became Pat's. She took a total inheritance of everything he had. This is important because as a child who's adopted, you become as a natural child. You get everything that you're entitled to. You know, when my mum dies, what little there is will be split out according to her will. And I will get my inheritance, possibly, as a son of my mother. And I don't, you know, you would expect it, wouldn't you? Pat will get it, because it's her right as a child of adopted parents. And one little last thing, you see, that in Hartlepool there may be some family that have died. We don't know. We can't find out. But there is no inheritance. She'd been taken out of the old and brought into the new. And it is I use this word sometimes, paradigm, don't I? You know, this shift. But it's a total transformation of the old life into the new. And I would say this, that Pat couldn't have wished for two better parents. She couldn't have wished for two more loving parents. She wanted for not a lot. They weren't wealthy, but what they had was hers. And this is our inheritance. We've been adopted as children of God. Verse 15 says this: you received the spirit of sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father. And if we were to go back a little bit into that first part of the verse, of verse 15, have we got verse 15 up there? Yes. It says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. I want to say to you this morning that the old life, the gutter life, is one of fear. People out there live in fear and dread all the time. And the biggest fear is, what's going to happen to me? And they'll make up all sorts of stories and tell you all sorts of things. Well, of course, there's no God, so when we go, and that's the end of it. They don't believe it. They don't really believe it. But it satisfies their conscience and their hearts and their minds. We've not been taken from that and brought into a new type of fear. We've been brought into freedom. We've been brought into freedom and have received a spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Daddy God. That's what Abba means. Abba is not just a fancy word or a Hebrew word or what Aramaic word for father. It's an Aramaic word for daddy. I once watched a film about Jerusalem, or a news broadcast or something, and it showed little children running around the street, and one little lad turning round and seeing his dad shouting, Abba, Abba, Abba! And you get the sense of what this means. We've been adopted as baby children into the kingdom of God, and we can look round and we can say, Abba, Daddy God, Papa, whatever your language is. Whatever they say in the country that you were born in or have been adopted into, we say, Daddy God. And we have that relationship. And the question is, having got that new adoption, that new relationship, have we taken hold of our rightful inheritance? I was really touched by something that Edwin said on Wednesday night. He had great difficulty in communicating, bless him, and he struggled with a lot of what he had. But he told me something, and he talked about us being new creations. Yeah? And I think he said something really significant. He said, the old life hasn't changed. The old life that you lived before you became a Christian is still the same out there. There are still people swearing and drinking and doing drugs and lost and fearful and frightened or whatever. That world hasn't changed. We have been reborn. born again, and our old life is dead. And our new life, in our new life, we are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and we've seen this in Romans 8 earlier on, haven't we? If we are in Christ, there's no condemnation. Now, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. They say at the beginning of Romans 8, it talks about us being in Christ and there being no condemnation. Let's put the two together and paraphrase Scripture. And it says this: if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation and there is no condemnation. We've been taken completely out of that column A, all that list of all those things that the man in column A is, and we are in column B. And you can't just hop and jump backwards and forwards to pick up the bits you want. The old has gone, the new has come. See, God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. But you, every one of you, Brenda, hi, Christine, Ray, Diane, everybody, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And just as Pat was adopted by parents who chose to have a child, see, that's the important thing about adoption. You don't see couples who say, well, I never want children. I don't want us to have a family. I don't want us to be burdened with kids growing up and going to school and paying for this, that and t'other. Those sort of people don't adopt children. People who adopt children are people who say, well, maybe God hasn't blessed us with children of our own, but we want children, and therefore we will adopt. There is something missing in our lives. We need something extra, and we will adopt. And they do it as a deliberate choice, something that they want to do. That word want is so important there. We want to do it. So Pat's parents wanted a child. And she becomes a chosen person, and we become chosen people because God wants us to be part of his kingdom. God wants us. And he takes us out of our old life. And that old life could be, or the potential of the old life, I mean, we don't know. We can't be certain what Pat's potential was as a 2-month-old baby, but we can guess. We've got a fair idea. But she was taken out of that. But now, look at you. Look at you. You were born again a week ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. You've been taken out of the old life. And I know that for some of you that was an old life of deprivation. I know that for some of you it was an old life of mistreatment, of verbal abuse, of physical abuse, of sexual abuse. I know that some of you went through bad marriages. I know that some of you made marriages bad. You were abused by partners. And even some of you were abused as children. But if we haven't walked in the full release of sonship, we need to make a change, and we need to put the old life behind us. One of the things that saddens me, I think, with Christians sometimes is that they still walk around with this pile of baggage from the past. It may sound glib to say this, but a friend of ours in America, a dear lady who had been brought up through some real troubles, friend Mary from Michigan, her mother did not want her as a child. She told her as a child she wasn't worth the cost of the gunpowder it would take to blow her to hell. That was the background. And in time to come, she met a couple in Florida. And they said one thing to her, and you might think this is trite, you might think, well, it's a bit glib to say this. But they said this to her. Well, you must like it the way you are, or you would do something about it. Now, I know I've heard people say, well, you don't say that to so-and-so, but you must like it the way it is. Some people like to carry the burdens of the past with them. Some people love this baggage. You don't know how badly I was treated as a child. You don't know what Uncle Watsit did to me. You don't know what that school teacher, how they ridiculed me. You don't know how my first husband beat me or abused me. Or you don't know how that person... No, I don't. But the question is, do you want to carry that burden with you for the rest of your life? Do you enjoy the memories of suffering? Perhaps you like that song, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. It's time in our lives for a reality check. If, and I will say this if, because you all have to examine your own lives and know where you stand before God. But if you have been adopted into the household of God, then you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You've been adopted out of the old life, and you have been born again into a new life. Now, 20 years ago now, we fostered a young lad for a while, 2 years, Jonathan, bless him. And Pat would say to him, did you make that mess? And his stock answer was, yes, but. Yes, but. I think we have that somewhere, don't we? Yes. We do. Sorry. But. Why yes, but? Well, I know a lot of people who say, yes, I want to come into the fullness of what God's got for me. Yes, I want to accept that I am the Son of God. But I've still got this burden. I've still got this guilt feeling. I've still got this pain. I've still got this hurt of what happened X number of years ago. You know, sometimes we are not on the receiving end of pain. Sometimes we're on the giving end of pain. And I don't always mean physical pain. But you know, some of you with your past life will know what I mean. You will know that the things that you've done, of course, hurt and grieve to other people. You'll want to say, yes, I want to come into the fullness of everything God's got for me. But... but I want to look at it a different way for a minute as well. And instead of saying, yes, I want to do this, I would say, but God has come into this. Yes, you were bad. Yes, you were an abuser. Yes, you were abused. Yes, you were a thief. Yes, you were whatever. But God has adopted you into his kingdom. God has taken you on as a new creation. And he says, you are no longer in condemnation. You are my child, and I adopt you, and everything I have is yours. Everything I've done. I sent my son Jesus to die for you. Thank you, Lord. And he nailed your sin, and he nailed your pain, and he nailed your hurt to the cross and said, it is finished. We should be able to stand and sing, I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. Because God has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Yes, but. Yes, but. I want to say to you today, it's time to lay down the buts. It's time to put the buts to rest once and for all. Andrew spoke years ago about people putting their baggage on the luggage belt. Do you remember that? Like being at the airport, you let go of your suitcase and you can't wait to run around the other side to pick it up again. We need to be like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, that when we come to the cross, we lay down our burdens. We lay down our hurts of the past. And some of you are going to say, that's just too easy for you to say, Duncan. That's, you just don't know where I've been. But if you want to walk in the fullness of everything God's got for you, then sooner or later, and I want to say to you, make it sooner, sooner or later, you have to lay everything at the foot of the cross and leave it there. I want to sort of switch track slightly as I come to a close. In a few minutes we're going to look at a video clip of Dave Bilborough singing one of his first and one of his best known and most loved songs, Abba Father. Because that's what this message is about. This message is about coming to Daddy God and saying, Daddy God, I want to lay everything down at your knee, Lord God. I want to submit to you, Daddy God. I want to surrender, Daddy God. Daddy, take it away. How many people have had children who've hurt themselves and they've come running to you and say, Mummy or Daddy, make it stop. Make it stop hurting. This morning, will you go to God and say, Daddy God, will you make it stop hurting? Will you take that pain away? Will you release me into the inheritance of your kingdom? This song of Dave Bilborough says this, Abba Father, let me be yours. Now listen to this next bit. And yours alone. We want to be children of the living God without the attachments of the things of this world. Those things that dragged us down for years and hurt us and cursed us. No, no more. Yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own. God does not want us to keep picking up the things of the past. God wants us to deposit them at the cross and let go. Never let my heart go cold. Never let me go. Abba, Daddy, let me be yours and yours alone. We're now children of the living God, adopted into his family. Are you willing to move completely into the new life and be his alone? You will have to shed the things of the past. And there isn't a thing there that says some of the things of the past or a bit of the past. You have to shed the things of the past. You have to come permanently, evermore, his. As Will plays this video, we'll go through it the first time and probably pause. I want you to consider where you're at with God this morning. What are you burdened with? What are you carrying? Jesus said, come unto me, all you are weak, weary and heavy laden. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And some of you have never, ever put enough trust in God to let go of everything that you've carried. Oh yes, you've been hurt. Oh yes, you've caused pain to other people. But God says, time now to come into the fullness of being a child of the living God. It's time to take over your full inheritance. It's time to accept what being adopted as a child of the living God really means. Will you bow your head? Will you dump the things of the past? And will you allow God to come like the prodigal son and allow God to put on you a new robe, a robe of righteousness? Will you stop chasing your old world roots?